Well, good morning and greetings to parents, family, friends, faculty, staff, and most of all, to you, the graduates of the Boyce College Class of 2007. For parents, this is a great day of accomplishment, isn't it? It's a great day of accomplishment for your sons and daughters, but also for you. Many of you have spent a good deal of money and time and effort and prayer to get your children to this moment. You wanted them to achieve something significant, and so they have. Congratulations to you for your part in that. I have small children. I have five boys and one daughter, and one daughter that's going to be born in July. My oldest is 11, so I have a whole lot ahead of me. That's not supposed to be funny. When I talk to parents who have children older than my children, they often say to me, they say, Jimmy, they say, you're not going to believe how fast this goes. They say, you're not going to believe how quickly little boys and little girls grow up. I've never once had a parent say to me, these days when your children are small are going to drag on and on and on. Boy, will you be glad when they're over. They always say the opposite. And days like graduation day are just a reminder to all of us that time is short, that the stakes are high, because little boys and little girls grow up. And that's what's happening here. Spouses, many of you have worked hard and sacrificed much to bring your husband or your wife to this day. Faculty, it's a great day. You've invested your lives here. You had all kinds of other opportunities. There are a million places you could be. Things you could do, ways you could spend your lives, your talent, your minds, your hearts. And you've chosen to invest here because you believe in what's happening here, because you believe in the future and what God is doing through these men and women seated behind you. Graduates, today is a culmination of a whole lot of hard work. All of you have worked hard in the classroom, so that you could prepare yourself to do what it is that God has called you to do. You've put your money where your mouth is. You've come from all over the world, all over the nation, to Louisville, Kentucky, to invest your lives, to get the best training to be had on planet Earth. And hopefully that's what you've received. We're all very proud of your work, and this is a day to celebrate. You know, one of the things I think is most difficult about ministry is trying to explain to people why it is that we do what we do. We've all repeated the jokes about explaining to people why you're a female and yet you're at a boys' college. We've all talked about going home and trying to explain to people what a Bible college actually is. What you're doing here, what you're training. There might even be people in this room who are here because they love you, but have no idea what this is all about. Why did you come to this place to study this book? Why would you pay money to receive this education? Why would you pursue this calling instead of another? Why would you forsake other opportunities to pursue this one? St. Peter must have been asked the same question throughout his ministry for Jesus. He had a successful fishing business. He had a family that was respected in the town where he grew up. He was a natural leader. He was bold. He was vocal. He was decisive. And yet one day the Bible says that Peter was fishing with his business partners and Jesus came to see him. And Jesus said, from this day forward, Peter, I want you to do something different with your life. I want to make you a fisher of men. Why would Peter forsake all of that? Why would he forsake his business and his home? Why would he risk his reputation, his standing in the community, so he could follow this man Jesus? Why would he do that? Why would you? Let me read to you from John chapter 21, a story that John told about Peter and his relationship with Jesus. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. Jesus was saying, Peter, if you love me, you follow me. But he was also saying, you follow me because you love me. The motivation for Peter's love, for Peter's fellowship, for Peter's obedience was his love for Jesus. His love and his faithfulness to Christ and his obedience to Christ could not be separated. If there's one thing that I hope that you have learned from this faculty, from this president, if there's one thing I hope that you've learned from your study here, I hope that you love Jesus with all of your heart. I hope that the result of your study here is that you love Jesus more today than you did when you came to this place. I hope that the rest of your life, when people ask you, why did you go to that school? Why do you do what you do? You can look them in the eye and say, I do what I do because I love Jesus. Now we know that the Bible says this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And yet Jesus is clearly saying that even though the time is short and the stakes are high, as Dr. Moeller just said, that the motivation is strong because we love Jesus, because He loves us. So why will you, graduates, why will you be faithful to your husbands? Why will you be faithful to your wives in a world that doesn't even value marriage? You'll do that because you love Jesus. Why will you value and train your children to love God when the whole world doesn't care much about children anymore? It's because you love Jesus. Why will you love your church when the whole world stopped going to church? Because you love Jesus. Why will you hold to the Scriptures and sound doctrine? Why will you give generously when the world says keep it all to yourself? You'll do it because you love Jesus. Why will you repent of your sins when your sins are brought to your attention? When the world says don't worry about that, anything goes, you'll do it because you love Jesus. Why will you visit the sick and take care of the poor? Why will you visit the prisoners? Why will you love the unlovable? Why will you defend those who have no one to defend them? Why will you swim upstream in an ungodly culture for the rest of your life? Why will you spend your lives in the churches and the mission fields of this world when no one understands? And the answer is, because you love Jesus. I'm confident this is the case for you. When I look at you, it reminds me of a television program I used to watch when I was a kid. You probably have never heard of it because most of you are too young, but maybe your parents have. Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. When I was a kid, I remember watching that show with Marlon Perkins, and it was basically the Crocodile Hunter before the Crocodile Hunter was cool. And he would do a program occasionally on a tag and release protocol that they did trying to track wildlife. And they would tag fish or birds or different kinds of animals and send them away. And they would be turned loose and they would go all over the place. And then they would try to track wherever they went. And when I look at you, I know that in heaven somewhere, perhaps, using my imagination, that God is tracking. There is a map somewhere. And if we could just tag you and 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, put a map of the world up here, and have lights for where our graduates are serving. In jungles, in deserts, in hostile, scary places, in the hills and hollers of Alabama and Tennessee and Kentucky, in the urban centers of the Northeast, in the entertainment centers of California, all over the world, you will spend your lives. That's a glorious thought. Because we're part of something that didn't start here at Boyce College. We're part of something that started a long time ago, way before that. We're part of a global effort that includes millions of people, some now with the Lord, some yet unborn. In closing, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your hard work. I want to thank you for your hearts that burn with the gospel. I want to thank you for your lives that are already being poured out. But as your dean, I want to encourage you throughout your life, when you're asked, when you even question in your own mind, why is it that you do what you do? That you'll think back to your parents who raised you, to your pastors who have shepherded you, to your faculty at Boyce College who have taught you, and you'll respond with all sincerity and authenticity, I do what I do because I love Jesus.